Good Monday. Today is February the 17th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, tariffs making ag headlines. We're going to catch up with an ag economist who will break down the complex world of tariffs into some easy-to-understand concepts using real-world examples with lumber and textile manufacturing. We'll have the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Well, we've heard a lot of talk about tariffs. Craig Lemoine is an agricultural economist from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. He's going to help us understand a little bit about what all this means.
Tariffs are in the news. Tariffs have been in the news since November. And so let's dig in a little bit into what a tariff is. A tariff, simply put, is a tax on imports. Give you an example. Let's say that a home builder in Wisconsin imports lumber from Canada. If we put a 25% tariff on that lumber, then for every $100 of lumber pre-tariff, now that importer buys the $100 of lumber and cuts a check for 25 bucks to the government as a tax. That lumber now costs the importer $125 instead of $100. So that importer then, when they sell that lumber or they build a house, they're going to have to reflect that increased tax they paid the government in the cost of those materials. And that, in a nutshell, is a tariff. Well, let's dig one layer deeper. When we think about why we use tariffs from an economic standpoint, we can use tariffs for a number of reasons. We can try to raise revenue from a federal government standpoint. We can participate in what's called protectionism as well. And either way, the idea is, okay, well, if we raise the cost of goods outside the United States, perhaps we're more likely to use goods generated inside the United States. Growing up, I lived in El Paso, Texas. And during my time growing up, there was an act that passed. It was the North American Free Trade Agreement. And you saw a bunch of textile companies like Levi's and, you know, things that made blue jeans pop up on the border of Mexico and the United States. The idea being that you would have American and Mexican management, and you would have typically employees from Juarez, and they would make the textiles, and textiles would then ship to the United States. So it was a way that we could make textiles without paying United States labor costs, which typically are more expensive than labor costs in Juarez, Mexico would be. So the idea of a tariff then kind of flies in the face of that free trade, okay? And what we're looking at with this world of tariffs today is that we're kind of tariffing by country and not necessarily by industry. When there's some industries, the United States does a very good job, and maybe we have a domestic interest in that industry continuing, such as making cars in the United States, right? Our ability to produce cars is the same as our ability to produce and weaponize those kind of things if we ever needed to. And so, yeah, you can make the argument that we need a strong, healthy car industry in the United States. So maybe if we put tariffs on automobiles or automobile parts, we would then see perhaps more people buying U.S. cars because they would be priced more affordably or cheaper than international alternatives. You could make an argument that perhaps if you're a big believer in bourbon, right, we put a big tax on tequila. Tequila is generally grown in Mexico and south of there. And so we would grow and make tequila in Mexico, what used to be $100 a bottle. Now we'd have $100 a bottle plus that tariff tax put on it. But to summarize a little bit about tariffs, the reason that we use tariffs might be to raise funds. It might be to protect American jobs, to grow American industries. And we can look at that from the slant that, okay, maybe perhaps that'll work. The danger of tariffs is that there are local economies and synergy economies and a real global economy that when we start to introduce tariffs become significantly less efficient and has different middlemen and different costs and fees and structures that weren't there in the past. So I wanted to share a little bit about tariffs with you today. I hope you learned a few things.
Those are the comments again of Craig Lemoine, ag economist at Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at crop.com. coverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions, get an update on last week's WASDE report and what some of the numbers meant with this contribution from NAFB's Mike Davis.
Brooke Schaefer, market advisor with Palmetto Grain in South Carolina, says USDA played it safe with this report.
They do not make changes on the supply side, but we are ahead of pace on exports and ethanol production on corn and on domestic consumption, domestic crush on beans. So some people had thought that maybe they would trim those carry out numbers, increasing the demand on that. But USDA left all that alone. They did raise the average farm price on corn by 10 cents. And you know, we've seen the price trending up where the balance sheet is tightening up. So they did make that change on the domestic side.
USDA did drop corn production numbers in Argentina and Brazil, but no change in Brazilian soybean numbers. Schaefer says this report adjusted global corn and soybean production down based on South American weather.
Corn is lower from the January report and a pretty good bit lower than last year. The corn balance sheet is tightening up in the world, and that's reflected in the price. We've seen this price rallying. Soybeans, the world carryout is down a little bit from the last report, but we're up a pretty good bit from last year. So kind of a mixed bag there where we're tightening up a little bit, but we're still building year over year.
The bean carryout was lowered, but Schaefer says not enough to move the market.
The world carryout is down a little bit from the last report, but we're up a pretty good bit from last year. So kind of a mixed bag there where we're tightening up a little bit, but we're still building year over year. So the market's not going to react. The market hadn't felt the need to react there.
Wheat didn't bounce either way either.
Looking at wheat on the domestic side, they did raise domestic usage, and so they lowered domestic wheat carryout, which is a good thing, a bullish thing for the market because wheat has really struggled the last few weeks. World carryout's down a little bit too. But mainly in the wheat, the market didn't react a whole lot to that today.
Schaefer says the next big reports will come out at the Ag Outlook Forum in Washington later this month. I'm Mike Davis.
Thanks, Mike. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.